Okay, we're going to be learning tonight the second part of Sif Hei in Reish Nun Beis. So let's start again from the bottom of page 36. There's lots of very important halachas which we're going to be covering tonight, Beis Hashem. So we learned yesterday, in line with the idea and the rule that if you are starting a halacha before Shabbos, the halacha is, it's allowed to continue into Shabbos. So we learned yesterday, if you start the irrigation system before Shabbos, then it's allowed to continue throughout the whole Shabbos, v'molchim b'chola Shabbos. Then we spoke about the second one, and I want to just speak about that a few minutes. It's a fascinating, very debatable application of these words. So v'laniach kiloir, so now this is again about the medicine you're putting on the paste they're putting on the eyes. So again, just to recap, because I want to speak about that for a minute. There's an issa of doing refuah on Shabbos. Okay, to do any medicines, we spoke about end of last lesson this year, to do a
medication.
To do a medication? Medical procedure, to take a medicine, to apply, that's good. A medicine on Shabbos is also medrabonon, chachomim ask that any medicines on Shabbos. Okay.
Now,
okay, because generally, in previous generations, the way you'd make a medicine, you'd go in your back garden, where you had all kinds of plants, and you'd grind them, and a bit of this and a bit of that together, that's brilliant against headaches. And you may have it ready, but often, more often than not, you may not have it ready. So Chachamim were concerned, if you have a headache, you're going to go and start grinding on Shabbos. So there Chachamim said, no more, none of that. So even if it's ready already, and you've got it already as a capsule, or you have it already in any way, you may not apply a medicine on Shabbos, because if you would allow, then would end up standing guard grinding on Shabbos. There'll be shiloh grinding.
Yeah, because then I had a shiloh.
You're allowed to do it on Shabbos.
But she didn't take it, it'll be a
sakana. Sakana, right? So if it's a sakana, then it's a sakana, yeah.
The way she, swallow it, but my mother
she couldn't anymore, yeah. Okay, so very much in line with that, we find there's an issa of taking medicines on Shabbos. Now, Shulchan Aruch says the following issa, that's fascinating. Shulchan Aruch says that you are allowed to put it before Shabbos, the paste before Shabbos, and it's lost on Shulchan Aruch is you're not allowed to put the paste on the eyes on Shabbos. On Shabbos you're not allowed to, but before Shabbos you're allowed to have it, although it's going to remain there throughout Shabbos. It's a medicine, you're not allowed to put it on Shabbos, but if it's a before Shabbos, you're allowed to keep it there. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says. Now the Sefer HaChaim, which is Shlomo Kluger, one of the very, very important poskim in Galicia, Paskens, he said that there is a Kabbalah, Sefer HaChaim, Shlomo Kluger says, that whenever you have a medicine which you started taking before Shabbos, you'll have to continue taking it on Shabbos. When a contemporary, common, frequent application of that would be antibiotics, absolutely.
Yeah.
So that Sefer HaChaim means to mamash b'matir this. He says if you're taking a medicine before Shabbos, you'll have to continue it into Shabbos as well. He doesn't actually bring a concise source, if I'm not mistaken, but the later poskim, they want to bring a proof for this halacha from Sefer HaChaim, from this Shulchan Aruch that we're learning now. Why are you allowed to take antibiotics? You had it on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Why allowed to? Because you're allowed to take antibiotics on Shabbos as well. So some poskim want to be matir because of this Shulchan Aruch that we're learning now. That's very debatable. So they want to say that just like you're allowed to put the kiloil on the iron before Shabbos, and it's staying on your eyes on Shabbos, you're allowed to, as long as you're not putting it on Shabbos. So similarly, also an antibiotic which you started taking prior to Shabbos, you'll have to continue it into Shabbos as well. So they want to explain the Sefer Chaim B'Shloim B'Kluga. And that's what they said, that's why antibiotics on Shabbos are permitted. Rabbi Isai, is this a comparable, is this comparable or not? Moshe, what do you tell him? You walk away, what do you mean? No, I don't hear. What are you saying?
Antibiotics, you have to take it.
You have to take it? As opposed to? Good. All right. Okay, so we're gonna yeah, I'm getting what you're saying. Is it comparable or not? Is it good Mikoyl? Pardon?
But I'd like to say, the case should be, if you put on Kilo before Shabbat,
yeah.
Now you want to use Kilo on Shabbat.
But you reapply it, absolutely. Absolutely. It's mamash, it's so true. The Tzitz Eliezer and other person, Shlomo Islam, other person can say that's not, that can't be true. That can't be that you're out of antibiotics just because of the halacha of kilo oil. Kilo oil, you have applied it, and it's remaining physically on your eyes throughout Shabbos. It's true that it's probably what it's. But you, what have you done? You've applied it, you have put it on there before Shabbos. You're not doing anything on Shabbos. But you'd be mad because of that, to allow to have somebody take antibiotics on Shabbos, that's not good enough, because antibiotics, you're taking it, of course, you're taking it every day. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Shabbos. You know. So that's not comparable.
It's continuing course.
Yeah, but who says you're allowed to take continuing course? Why are you allowed to take continuing course? Kilo is not a proof.
They say, although that's where this debate's going now, but they say you have to finish the course of antibiotics.
Right.
You have to take one every day. Now, are you saying that if you miss one on Shabbos, you could make up for it the next day, or you just do it one extra?
Yeah. Okay, so
there is some debate that I read. That
I know. So there's. I heard about this debate. The very modern world of medicine. They want to now argue with this, and they claim that apparently it's not so posh that you need to finish the course. Apparently, I don't know anything about it. Oh. You're allowed to take it on Shabbos. Just out of curiosity, do you have to finish a course of antibiotics?
No idea.
You no idea. Did you ever take antibiotics?
Yeah.
And you had to finish the course? You know. Okay, so the shaila is, but the comparison is very, very weak. Very, very poor comparison. And it's very debatable as to whether the halacha of kiloi can be approved, why antibiotics is permitted, or in fact, any medicine. People who are taking medicine on Shabbat, heavy medicine, there's other causes. I mean, people are taking medicines against various allergies and various illnesses that are taken sometimes that weeks and months, taking it every single day. Or other medicines that are just to be taken every single day, it's very... So what is the makoy? So as I said, the Pshlema Klug is matted, but to find the makoy for it, to find a source why, it's probably not, it cannot be from this halacha of kilo. It can't be. Kilo is not a good proof.
It's going to Shabbos.
Yeah. The fact that it's the Tzitz Eliezer wants to tie it. Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva about it, and they want to tie it that if you there may be an approach for, we're not learning refuah now, but some poskim want to say that if you stop taking it, you may become ill.
You might be putting yourself in danger.
Yeah, but even if it's not danger, most illnesses are not really there. Even if you're not putting yourself in danger, but nevertheless, but the fact that you're not taking it, you're going to become ill. And you're not going to have to make yourself ill again. So the skipping of the day, making yourself ill, you don't have to.
Like warfarin people take warfarin.
Absolutely, warfarin is a good example as well. You have to take it every day, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And what about Yom Kippur then?
Yom Kippur is a different shaila. That's a different shaila.
But it's the same principle, isn't it?
Well, there's beyond the halacha of refuah.
Yeah, but if you're saying in Yom Kippur, you should stop, or you could take a medicine because you need to take it, then surely it would apply to Shabbos as well.
Yeah.
You need to take it.
No, but on Yom Kippur, there's an additional problem of the fast.
Yeah, I know, but if a doctor and a rabbi say you have to take it on Yom Kippur because it's a dangerous akona.
Yeah, then he would then tell him what he would apply. Yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely, 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 100%. It continues the Shulchan Aruch. Velos says Mugma Tachas Akelim, are continuing with this concept now. You're allowed to put Mugma, which is the nice smelling spices. You're allowed to put them Tachas Akelim under your garments. So they are like, they've been roasted, spiced, a good smell. and you put them under the garments, and the smell goes into the garments, which makes it smell really nice and fresh. So mutter los is mugma tachas akelim v'mizgamri meileim kol haShabbos. So you're roasting the spices, and now they've got a strong smell, and you did it on Friday. You put garments, your suit, and your trousers on top of it to make it a nice smell, a nice fresh smell of your shirt. Now, you don't have to pull your shirt away before Shabbos. You can keep, and your clothing, your garments can remain near the mugmo, near the good-smelling spices, throughout the entire Shabbos. Although the smell is going to improve over Shabbos, you don't have to pull it away. Even if the mugma of the nice smelling spices are placed in a vessel, these are really the key words over here, that a person is not commanded on the shvisa, on the resting of the kelim of his vessels. You've got kelim, your vessels don't have to rest over Shabbos. So if something is on, you've got a fan on, you've got a fire on, like you've got mugma, you've got a mill, you've got whatever it may be, you don't have to stop it. It's allowed to continue throughout the entire Shabbos. And that would be that's the concept here. We are not commanded on Shvisas Kelim. If Kelim do a melacha, if our property, our items do melacha on Shabbos, that doesn't matter. So in principle, you can have anything running throughout Shabbos, and that's mutter.
Automated, like there'll be robots presumably in 20-30 years' time,
yeah,
and maybe even in your house,
yeah.
So I can see there'll be big shiners then, if that ever happens, which I think it will,
yeah,
in 20 years' time.
How would we apply?
How would you apply that?
How would you apply that? Yeah, philosophy so oirim begigis lishroisam. Similarly, if you're soaking, you've got barley which you're soaking, you're allowed to soak. Soak throughout the Shabbos barley, that's permitted as well. There is a press. If you are pressing and squeezing zeisim v'anovim, olives and grapes, so you're putting that big press, huge heavy press, and a huge amount of grapes or olives, and you're making the juices emerging from there. It takes a long time for it all to be squeezed and like the juices to emerge and to come out from that. So you're allowed to do the action of the squeezing and the pressing before Shabbos, and the juices still come out throughout the Shabbos. That's mutter as well. Why? Your vessel is doing a melacha. You're allowed to squeeze something on Shabbos. But the answer is, since it's just the keli that is doing it, not you are doing it, you're passive. It's the keli, it's the utensil that is doing the melacha, not you. So therefore it's permitted, because a person is not commanded on the resting of the shvisas kelim, on the resting of the kelim. As long as you are passive, it's mutter. And not only that, but even the oil and the wine that emerges from that press is mutter, is permitted to use. Similarly, not fully ripened fruit, if everything was squashed and squeezed before Shabbos, the liquids that are coming out from that are permitted. Oh, this is a fascinating halacha. This is talking about a mill. You're putting wheat in a mill. You've got a mill, wheat, and you want to put grains into the mill. Shalmayim, water, someone lechashecha. Okay, this is the halacha of a mill, of having a milk mill operating on Shabbos. So what it is that, let's talk about either a windmill, or it could be a water, wind, what else? Yeah, a mill. Now, what happens? So a hand mill, we know, to use a hand mill on Shabbos is an Issa D'Oraisa, the Kolades, to use a mill. Now, what happens if you have a mill? What happens if you have a mill that is operated through the energy that is coming is from the water? Okay, have you ever seen that? Ever seen it? Yeah, if you go to boating in the River Lee, you see it very clearly. Have you been there? In what's called?
Bennington.
No, Bennington, no? No. You can hire boats there. Broxbourne, that's right, yeah. Okay, so if you go to Broxbourne, it's very clear, the mill there, it's very interesting to see, Taka. You see the water mill, you see a water mill. So you've got a river, that's the basic concept of the mill. You've got the energy of the flow of the river, and that obviously operates a mill, which makes the flour from the grain and from the wheat.
What about then?
One second, I just... Yeah, similarly, yeah. Same aloch, same. Yeah? So now, what about if you are putting all the wheat, you're putting that into the operating mill before Shabbos, and it's actually grinding it on Shabbos. Is that mutter or osso? Mutter, correct. Why? You put it in before Shabbos. That's what Shulchan Aruch says at this point. Los mutter, you're allowed to los is chitim v'shechichaim. You're allowed to put the wheat in a mill, shalmaim of water, samal chashecha before Shabbos. Now, there is a big shaila here, and that is, the poskim discuss a famous Mogen Avraham. The Mogen Avraham wants to ask the following shaila. He says, what is the halacha if you actually have a mill on Shabbos, a water mill, that is operated, the energy comes from the river, and you are not actually grinding by hand, but what is happening is that the grinding that is taking place is actually taking place through the water. So you are doing really is you are taking the grain and you're pouring it into this machinery. That's all you're doing. It then goes to a certain system, and then what happens is that the water then grinds it. Well, the water grinds. You know what I mean? It's operating the machinery that you then... So what are you doing? All you're doing is actually you're pouring it into the vessel, into the kind of utensil that leads to the... into the mill. You're not actually putting it in the mill element. You're putting it on the side, which that... the pipe goes into the... So what are you actually doing? All you're doing is you're pouring it in. The fact that the mill is threshing, grinding it, that's not you. That's the water that is doing it. Is it therefore... Mutter also. On Shabbos. Now you're right. I should have specified. Now I'm talking about Shabbos. So before Shabbos, we just learned that if you're doing it before Shabbos, it's mutter. There's no doubt about it. That's what Shulchan Aruch says. You're allowed to operate before Shabbos, even if it continues into Shabbos, in line with what we're learning now. But now I'm going a step further. And saying, okay, fine. Erev Shabbos, I understand. But what about on Shabbos? Are you allowed to do it on Shabbos? Are you allowed to put grain in wheat in a water mill on Shabbos, which is a working mill, but you are not actually putting it onto the, you know, put, it's actually, what is actually grinding? It's not you grinding it. You're not standing there, turning around, the grinding is taking place through the water, through the river, through the energy of the water. It's not you. What are you saying? Yeah, has everybody agreed to that? Psikresha, you're saying it's psikresha. Okay, Rabbi Yisrael, I want to tell you, this is a fascinating halacha. There is a very mechodesh tikkun Mogen Avraham. And the Mogen Avraham says, here, on this Mogen Avraham here, Mogen Avraham is mechadesh, and he says, no, actually, it's potter. Actually, it's potter. Because you're not doing anything. You're not doing anything. All you're doing is you're putting it there, and the water is grinding it. That's not you. He says the lashon is the nesinas achitim esher chaim shalom b'shabbos lekir chiyuv chatos. The tchina achach memeila osi bir locha brings the lashon. The tchina memeila osi. The grinding is something which is happening automatically. That's not you. It's not you. It's not your action. But pardon. Oh, it's mamash moedik. That's mamash b'chem oizat haynes. That's mamash b'chem oizat haynes. So all the poskim, all the gedolei achronim, every single one of them. They ask on the Mogen Avraham, it doesn't make any sense. It does not make any sense. It really, the Reb Chaim Oiza and the Beis Meir, all the poskim, they say that it doesn't make any sense. Because that is, what's different than Mamash, they ask, Bishul, they ask Zira. That is the way you're doing the Toichan. That is the way you're doing the Tchil, that's the way you're grinding. Who says grinding has to be about a circular movement of moving the handle of a grinding machinery? Who said that's called grinding? In fact, any thing that you're operating, which is making a grinding...
You're part of
You are part of the
end result.
Yeah, that's right. Very good. When you're operating this, that you're actually creating a grinding to take place, you're chayv. That's called grinding. That's called toichen. And you can't say, mimele ka'os. It's not indirect thing that took place. It's you actually doing it. You're chayv chatos. And that's the matter. I'll tell you why this is very negative. This discussion is extremely negative with regards to the shaila of the electricity. This Reb Chaim Oizer and this Mokan Avram and this Beis Meir and all Reb Shlomo Zalman, all the mamash talk about this very shyly with regards to electricity. Why is it comparable to electricity? Why is it compared to electricity? Why is it electricity? Why is it comparable to the shyly of electricity? Why is it got to do with it? Chazanish. Why is it got to do with the shyly of electricity? Nearly. Yeah, so they want to say, well, yeah. Very good. If we go with Tikkun Mona or Boina or whatever halacha, whatever the halacha is, generally the melacha, you're not normally doing melacha by putting it, but it's turning on a switch on and off. That's not normally, you're not creating, I mean, we're all used to the concept already, you're creating electricity, in chayv chatos, or, yeah. Well, you can't, but that's not really the way you normally, in a conventional sense, that's not how you're boina. You're not creating, building. You're not building something by turning on a switch normally. Yeah, I know we're used to the idea already that yes, you're creating an electric circuit, but we're just used to it. But really, in essence, how can somebody 50 years ago, 70 years ago, somebody says turning on a switch? Why? I'm not building anything. I'm not building anything. What am I doing already? So that's what called building. That's something else that is happening. So the poskim can compare this. And they say that actually, we're learning from this halach over here. That just like your chayv chatos, when you're doing a mill, you're operating a mill, all you're doing is you're pouring like this. But let me say, if there's a tchina going on at the end of the day, the end was end product. If the end product is that you're having ground flour, then you're chayv. So similarly also, if the end product is, by you switching, that you're having at the end of the day, you're having a electricity being created. So at the end of the day, you're chayv chatos. It's because the end product really what counts. That's what in a nutshell, a lot of the posts can speak about that. It's a discussion. Right, that's what the Bialoch speaks about. I wanted to share with you, we're talking about mill. I want to share with you an interesting thought. But before I do this, I just want to complete over here this what we learned today. We learned about the concept of putting the kilo on the eyes. We spoke about the fact that it's not comparable to antibiotics. We spoke about putting the mugmal before Shabbos and the rest continues. We spoke about the pressing, which if it took place before Shabbos, it had to continue into Shabbos, and other examples. But then we spoke about the mill as well, which the poskim say, if you're putting it before Shabbos, if it continues into Shabbos, that's mutter as well. I just want to share with you an interesting thought that I saw in, talking about the mill, Reb Melech Biederman Sefer. Melech Biederman brings an interesting meiser. He brings that there was the famous Tsar Nikolai. Famous Tsar Nikolai, who was the Tsar of the Russian Empire. We all know him as a very bad, evil Russia. His rulership was very, very bad for the Eden. One of the things that he used to do, occasionally, he used to get dressed into farmer's clothes. And he used to go very irregularly, but occasionally he would go into farmer's clothes because he had this huge palace. And he'd sometimes just sneak out and he'd go into the local pubs. In local pubs, why did he do so? He'd go there just to find out a little bit more what people would say about him and about politics and about the government. And what would bother the farmers and what they were thinking about. It's quite a good idea. Previous generations, you could get away with it because there was no newspaper. Nobody knew exactly how he looked. So if we get dressed, nobody knew his image. It was like they only had paintings, which was distorted anyway. So they didn't exactly know how he looked. So he would do it in the middle of the night. In the early night, he would go to the pubs, and nobody would recognize him. He would speak to the farmers once he was dressed like a farmer. And so one special occasion, as I said, they say it's a true story. One occasion, he escaped from his palace and he went into one of those pubs. And he started talking and then he started schmoozing. And he really enjoyed it. It was an interesting conversation. He gained a lot from it. He asked one of the people there, he said, tell me, if you would be has like three farmers there, like half drunk, they're drinking the vodka, and he says, listen, if you'd have an opportunity of if the Zani Kala would ask you, tell me what you want. You can have a free, like a rain check. What's it called, a rain check? Yeah. Tell me what would you want? What would you use it? Then he starts laughing, this farmer, he says, you know, if I had an opportunity, I'd go into the palace, I'd go into the treasure hall, and I'd take a big bag, you know, with those potato bags, and I'd put in like gold and silver galore, just like, that's what I would, I'd have gold and silver for myself and my children and grandchildren. And they start laughing, they have a bit more vodka. Finally, that Nikolai then goes to the second, and he says, what would you choose? He says, me, I wouldn't go for a bag of gold and silver from the treasure house. I'd go for a mill. We all know that a mill should be worth a lot of money, because people would go regularly to rent and to hire the mill to produce flour whenever they needed it. So the money would not just the owners of the mill, historically, were the richest people in the village. They were almost the richest people. If you own a mill, you're a rich man. And they said, you know, people called out and ask for a mill. If the Zani called to ask me, I'd go for a mill. I wouldn't go for just a bag of gold and diamonds. I'd go for a mill. I'd be the richest man. And they start laughing and they have a bit more vodka. And he goes to the third person. And he says, no, and you? And if you designed Nikolai, I would ask you, and obviously not recognizing him, he's still saying, what are you talking about? I don't ask me stupid questions like that. And he said, no, tell me really, really, really. If designed Nikolai, I would ask you, what would you want? What would you say? He says, leave me alone already, the stupid questions, just leave me to my vodka. And he said, no, but what would you really say? He said, if you ask me, I'd say, leave me alone. That's what I would say. Fine. Okay. The next day, designed Nikolai said, okay, designed Nikolai then goes back home. The next day, the first farmer, he gets delivered this massive royal chariot that goes to his, goes and he opens up this posh royal that goes, opens up the chariot, massive big bag of golden diamonds, massive big bag goes delivered. What is this? It's for you. It's from the family. He realizes and he chops that actually the person he had spoken to yesterday was actually none other than Tsar Nikolai himself. He opens up, he's a rich man forever now with golden diamonds. He goes to the second person. The second person, he delivers like a contract, and it says that it's hereby a document of acquisition. The mill on the north of the village, it's yours now. The mill belongs to him now, and he's given, you know, hundreds and hundreds or maybe thousands of mills that belongs to the royalty was given. One of them was given over to him. He was a rich man at the owner. And the third person, in the evening, they get together. And the rich man, he came with his black limousine, probably already. Second one as well, they show. And the third one, and they get together in the pub in the evening. And he said, what? Did you hear what? They realize that the last person, they got there was a Tsar Nikolai himself. And the third person said, such a waste opportunity. I could have got anything if I had just asked, I could have got anything. But I wasted my opportunity and I didn't ask for anything. And therefore, I'm not getting gold and silver. I'm not getting a mill. I'm getting nothing. So, Remelech Biedermann says, I'm just thinking about this because of the mill. Remelech Biedermann says that we're talking about the very, very special days of Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Elul. We're not about Tsar Nikolai. We've got Melech Malach Hamlochim, the king of all the kings. He's here now in our days of Elul. And it's all about us not to just waste opportunity, but to ask what we can from the Ribbono Shel Olam and get really close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on those very special days. Shol b'zoicha.